So welcome everybody to Norwood Free Methodist Church. Welcome everybody online. I'm going to start off doing something that has nothing to do with my message today. I'm going to react to something in the community. Remember I tell you I never give messages in reaction? I always say that. I'm breaking my own rule today because I feel like God told me. Seriously. So recently, I got to keep this on the script here. I'm going to give you some scriptures in my opinion about something. I'll tell you when it's my opinion because who am I? I'm just a person, okay? But I'll give you something to think about. Some folks recently, most of the people in here in the North Country have been touched by folks who have made a decision to end their own lives. So here's what you might hear in systems you come out of. Here's what I've heard time and time and time again. Pastor AJ, is it true that? And they say things like, if you do that, it's all over. That's the one thing a person can't do and expect to see God. No, guys, this is what people believe. They believe that if someone takes their own life, they're automatically separated from God forever. Do you know how many times I'm having to deal with that this week? So guess what? I'm going to deal with it right here and right now. And who cares what AJ thinks? We're going to look at scripture. Okay? Don't listen to me. That is all sorts of screwed up. But anyway, I want to show you something. Let's go ahead and look at slides. Because again, what does it matter? Let's talk about this, folks. Make up your own opinion. We're going to look at some folks in the Bible. Here's Saul, who was a king, anointed by God and had the Holy Spirit. Now read what happens to him. Saul is in a battle and he says to the guy who's carrying his armor, he says, draw your sword and run me through. Or these uncircumcised, ungodly fellows will come and run me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer is like, no, you're the king, hello. And he wouldn't do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. There's suicide in the Bible. The king, who had the Holy Spirit inside of him, just killed himself. I'm not done. Can we do the next one? Saul said to his armor, oh, no, yeah, okay. Oh, that was also in Chronicles. So I showed it to you out of 2 Kings, and it's also in Chronicles, so it appears twice. Next, please. Then Samson, you might remember him from such hits as Samson and Delilah, or his hair, right? Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, braces himself against them, his right hand on one, left hand on the other, and he says, let me die with these Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived, but he also killed himself. Here's what I want to show you. Because those of you who come out of churches, which tell you, no, that's the one, and they put on religion to something the Bible doesn't say. I want to show you this. Survey says, in the hall of faith, this is the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. This is the New Testament. This is where people who have done well get their accolades. And look who shows up. Wait for it. The faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This starts the hall of faith. If we move forward, next it says, by faith Abraham, okay? He did this. Next. Then he gets to bum 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 Samson. Samson commits suicide in the Old Testament and yet is called righteous in the New Testament. You deal with that information. I just showed it to you. Figure it out. So when I'm getting messages, AJ, is it true that if anybody commits suicide, they automatically go to hell? Well, then why would the writer of Hebrews say that Samson is in the hall of faith? Because he did. Come on, guys. Hello. Should I address this from the pulpit or what? Should I let people believe this about their friends and family? Should I? No. So God wants to deal with this. I haven't given you an opinion yet, have I? I haven't said a single opinion. I've showed you the Bible. There is one unforgivable sin in the Bible. Would you like to look at that? You all should nod. That's kind of important. Hello. Let's go look at the unforgivable sin in the Bible. Jesus himself says this in the book of Matthew 12:31. And I'll explain this if you don't understand it, people online. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, capital S, will not be forgiven, says Jesus. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, me, Jesus, that'll be forgiven. But anybody who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. There's one sin in the Bible that will never be forgiven. And what's funny is there's a good, healthy amount of fear even in this room. Oh, what is it? Have I done that? That was me. Before I knew, I was like, oh, by default, I probably hit it. Number one, they always say if you're concerned that you've done it, you've not. But that's not enough for me. I want facts and figures. I want to know what this thing is. So do you want to dive into this today or what? It's not suicide. It's not. Is suicide blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I don't think it is. So AJ went into smarter people than himself, and I did research for about a week. And I'm going to give you their opinion. These people, what is common knowledge about this, okay? Okay. The time when he mentions this during the book of Matthew, and there's another gospel, I believe it's Luke, in the Synoptic Gospels, which mention it, people are saying to him, do I have something else? like, right, okay, people are saying he casts out demons by the power of the devil, is what they said right before he says this. And Jesus goes into, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. JFK quoted that, remember? He didn't come up with it. Jesus did. He said, how if the devil is casting out the devil, how is his kingdom going to survive? No. I cast out by the power of God. Okay, that's what. But the fact that you're giving my miracles credit to the devil, and you're saying that the Holy Spirit is evil, there is one sin that people will not be forgiven for, and it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the context of this. They're saying that Jesus, what he's doing was the power of the devil, therefore calling Holy Spirit evil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, he walked on water by the power of Satan. Do you see where that's not forgivable? Whoa, you're taking the Holy Spirit and grinding him into the ground? That's one. High theologians from so-and-so to so-and-so, that's what they believe. But I also want to say this. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is denying something he did actually do and going, no, you didn't, you liar. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was raised from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we're given away to the Father. And when you say, no, I choose not to believe that, you're calling him a liar. And to, in my opinion, denial of the Lord Jesus is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and will not be forgiven. No, look, Jesus, I've heard your gospel. I've heard that you came, that you lived a sinless life, that you chose to die for me. You rose again. And if I believe in you, I'll be good with God, that you'll open that door for me. But no. And I believe that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Denial of our one way to the Father. Does that make sense? And we all know that's the only thing that matters when it comes to after this life. It's not, okay, so not to pick on Bill and Donna, but I was just going to talk about how sometimes cars cross that middle, right? And that happened to them. Well, what if their last word was a no cussy word? Come on, guys. Oh, no. And then, boom. And then, oh, I didn't get a chance to repent of that one no cussy word. Does that make any sense? God goes, ah, close, Kirk. I heard what you said when you hit the steering wheel. Do you see what I mean? Just because, and so getting back to the suicide thing, people go, well, you took your own life. It was that. You didn't get repentant. No, what? Don't put that on. God never said that. God absolutely never said that. I know people who have loved the Lord, who've truly called on him as Savior, as God, who fought a lifelong, difficult battle with depression. And they got so low, so far down that tunnel, that they made a mistake. You mean to tell me God's going to go, sorry. I know that was your cross to bear, but wrong again, Ernie. You did the wrong thing. Is that the loving Father we know? No, that's right. And the thing is, everybody has a struggle in this life. Some people are bent toward addictions. That's me. I inherited that. I'm bent toward addictions. You might see somebody outside smoking a cigarette and you go, that's your struggle. Not my struggle. I don't care about cigarettes. Other people, it's eating healthy, eating in moderation. Not my struggle. I don't even like food. If you could give it to me in a pill, I would eat it. So who am I to judge the other people? Some people? Depression. Okay? And depression is a long, dark tunnel that I know where it is, but I've never been down it that far. So when people do something drastic and escape from this life and the pain that they have, don't act like we know what's truly going on in those final moments. We don't know that. And you can't sit there and say, well, they don't love God because they did this. No, you know what? Sometimes when you're in so much pain, you do dumb things. Truly. Truly you do. So what am I saying right now? I'm saying, don't add extra pain to a painful situation, okay? If somebody, that's not the unforgivable sin. We've just looked at that. I want to say this. In the church world, I've talked about this a few times, but I feel like it's time to remove the stigma of depression and anxiety and these things. We'll get up there and go, and you've heard this before, but too bad. We'll get up there and we'll say, okay, Father, can you be with so-and-so who broke their arm? Or so-and-so because their heart or their liver? But if someone's brain is out of balance, we sit there and go, the joy of the Lord should be your strength. Get up. Think happy thoughts. Why can't you get out of bed? Hold down a job. We're not understanding this problem. Do you understand that? It's a brain issue, guys. And we've come a long way. We've come a long way. Some of us can look through our family trees and see people that maybe could have been helped with meds or intervention somehow. It's 2016, 2017 right now. This is good, right? We can actually regulate things. But this is a real problem. And you know what happened a few years ago? Rick Warren, the guy who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, his son committed suicide. Remember? This is one of the most successful, spirit-filled places on the planet. And his son climbed into that tunnel, not by his own choice, and went so far down that he couldn't come back. Don't you dare kick that family by putting non-biblical thoughts in there. Well, you know, he's separated from God forever. No, what? Where are you getting that from? And number two, we can learn from that and say, what can we do to help people who are crawling through that tunnel? The last thing we need to be doing is going, get up, dummy. Why can't you just? That's not what we do. That's not what we do with heart problems. Or your kidney's got a problem? Get up, dummy. We don't do that, do we? Let's treat these mental things the same way we treat the physical things. With compassion. With linked arms. With support. Steph, I'm going to call her out on this one because she shared it, so it's public knowledge. Steph went through a season where she was in that tunnel of depression. And she felt like she couldn't bring it out and talk to people about it, right? Suffering while surrounded by family who loves her. That's what depression does. It makes you want to isolate, doesn't it? Anybody remember, I mean, years ago on Stonegate, remember I had my best friend Pete up. And he talked about, he was diagnosed bipolar manic. Like, diagnosed. These aren't, oh, I struggle. No, doctors intervened. And he talked about what it's really like. It's a very isolationist thing. And so if we have the posture of anything but accepting and you know, fierce love that goes and seeks out, people isolate, and that's when they get in trouble. That's when they really get in trouble. They do. So there. I think God wanted to correct that. I think a lot of us come out of systems where we're putting stuff in the Bible that's not there, and we need to knock it off. Everybody's got their cross to bear. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. And you know what I love about you people in specific? We all understand. He didn't say, work on your cross, leave it there, and then follow me. He said, no, I know the burdens you have. AJ, you're always going to struggle with this stuff. Your job, your lifelong goal, AJ, is to, in my strength, overcome it. But bring it with you. Don't hide it from me, man. And so I'll tell you right now, I have a very addictive personality. I'm obsessive. I have to know that about myself. No, Jesus, I don't want you to see that. How foolish. It's like lots of us, guys. I'm just going to go, okay? Lots of us, we say, Jesus, you are who you say you are. Come into my house, my metaphorical house of mine. But I want you to stay in that front room where everything's nice, where there's plastic on the couch. I've dusted in that room. Don't come back here. Don't come back here, right? I got news for you. That's not the deal he ever made. If Jesus has anything to do with you, he's got everything to do with you. Everything, guys. That's why he says, don't bother. I got the blueprints to your house, guys. I got x-ray vision. Okay? I know what's in your house. But I'm as polite as I am powerful. Let me in. Let me into that dirty room of jealousy. Let me into that room of shame over there. Don't hide it from me, guys. Pick up the cross and follow me. Together, we'll go. Don't hide your cross. Don't leave it behind. And again, depression is some people's crosses. Maybe we can help them carry it. Right? Not stigmatize them and go, you should have joy. You should have joy. You don't know, man. Unless you've been in that tunnel crawling toward the darkness, then keep your mouth shut and just love the people. Okay? So that could be some of the best advice I've ever given from up here. People in my life, man, I didn't know what to do, but I took some advice from the good old-fashioned book of Job where I sat there silently. I wanted them to know I was there. I didn't know what to say, guys. I don't suffer from that. But I just sat there. I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm just here. So, okay? We're totally going to switch gears. I do want to say that, though, about carrying your cross. Let's not hide things from the Lord God. Craig Groeschel put out a book in 2006 called Confessions of a Pastor, and it's more about confessions of a person. Number one was, I don't like other Christians. Sometimes I find them to be really judgmental. Number two, I have a real strong fear of failure. Number three, I never feel good enough. Number four, the past haunts me. Number five, I'm a workaholic. Like all these things that he never brought to God. He never mentioned those in prayer. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And he said, what sense is it? If I know that God loves me just as I am, then the people sitting here better do it too. So I'm just going to be real with him and with everybody else as well. And there comes a freedom with that. You're walking, right? We're all walking in a line. We've all got the crosses. Different colors, different shapes, different wounds on these crosses. But everybody's got their cross. And if we can remember that day to day, we'll be more likely to help others carry theirs. Okay? So again, I'm totally going to switch gears. We've been talking about a lot of, counsel-y type of stuff. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. That's a big deal. I thought that was a really powerful one. Got a lot of feedback on that. Last week we talked about eyes. They're the lamp of your body, right? But also they lead. How you see the world and other people and God will shape things. Well, here's the thing. I don't feel like we need to get practical advice from just Dr. Phil or Oprah. I feel like as Christians, we should be able to get everything we need from our Father. Hey, Dad, how do I be a husband? Oh, I know what Mom and Dad did, and I know what society's doing, but Dad, how do I do that? How do I be a son to my mom or my dad? How do I do that? How do I be a friend? So we're just going to look at practical stuff today. It's not going to feel much like church at all, but I want you to understand something. This is all very much rooted in the Bible. In the book of Mark, they go, Jesus, we understand you know something we don't because you're doing all this crazy stuff. What's the most important thing? Well, let's break it down for me. And he says, love God with everything you have. Learn to surrender your mind, body, soul, and strength. Lean it on him. Don't hide anything. Kind of like what I was just saying. Carry your cross. Move. Always be moving toward God, he says. And never isolate yourself. Learn to love everybody else that God brings in your life. Because, like AJ said last week, they're all children of God too. Wonderfully and fearfully made. Right? You got to love God. Don't stop. No matter what happens in your life, don't sit down on the path. If you're hurt, keep going. If you have doubts, keep going. Just keep going. Love God. And then love other people. And here's the problem. Some of us don't know, how do you love other people? Because that one didn't work out. That one didn't work out. The TV shows I'm watching, I don't want to emulate those. What do I do now? Anybody ever been there? I know what I want, but I don't know how to get there. I know the type of marriage I want, but right? Well, I've got what you would call a little bit of an adrenaline shot today. Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is so practical. Some of you know this already. We're going to touch up on it. This is something you should touch up on all the time. A guy named Gary Chapman wrote a book about 10 years ago, and he called it The 5 Love Languages. Anybody heard of it? Good. Really, Mike? Yes, I'm excited for you. Okay, here's the thing. I got married to my wife. I was a professional singer-songwriter for years and years and years, and I come back from England. I'm a good songwriter. I got to tell you, I think I am. So I would write Melanie songs. The first time I told her I loved her, she won't mind me telling you. First time I told her I loved her was with a beautiful, sweeping melody in our living room. A private concert even, okay? And Melanie's like, cool. Thanks. And I'm like, what? That was, don't you want a guy that, what? And she goes, okay. Then we get married. And one day she was at work a little later than me. And she comes home and she goes to head downstairs. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to go sweep the kitty litter. And I went, oh, I already did that. What? Yeah, it needed to be done. Thank you. Oh, man. I'm like, what is going on? The concert in the living room meant nothing. But the kitty poop? Now I'm knight in shining armor, right? Mom will always send you a birthday card. Mom will send you a birthday card. And Mom, if you send her a birthday card, thank you for that birthday card. I love what it said. I love the way it looked. I love the way it smelled. I love the bag. Like, she loves birthday cards. Send me a birthday card. I'm going to go, sucker. Those $350 you could have spent on something else. That's almost a big bread. Right? Now, does that make me wrong, Mom right, Melanie wrong? No. What we discovered is we tend to give and receive love differently than other people. And this will hinge on the whole thing. We tend to love like we want to be loved. Your knee-jerk response is, what would I like? And that might not be how they receive it. Not, it would be awkward, but if someone sang me a song or wrote me a poem, that would mean everything to me because I'm artsy, right? So what did I do? I did what I would want. Well, that's not the goal in marriage, guys. The goal in any relationship, in fact. In any your kids, your mom and dad, your friends. Your goal is to not love them the way you want to be loved. Love them the way they best receive it. Mr. Long Range Shooter here. One bullseye gives you a lot more points than bink, 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 kind of, right? It's a lot less effort, too. So guess what? I started to scoop the cat poop a lot more often. I did. Dishes got done, right? So that kind of stuff. Because apparently, acts of service was her love language. So I stopped doing the songs. I'll tell you another one, and I'm glad she's not here because this would shame her. One night I was staying up super late. I didn't have to work the next day. This was years ago. And I just was in one of those moods, you know. And so I wrote her this beautiful, beautiful message. It went on a little bit. I'll admit it. It was like 2 a.m. So I woke up and I was like, did you read the message? She says, not yet. She goes to work. She comes back. Did you read that message? She goes, you mean that novel you wrote me last night? No, I didn't. And I was like, let me walk that one off. It was the last time I tried to communicate my language to her. So let's take a 5,000-foot view of some of the ways people receive love. And then remind me to talk about prayer. Number one, says Gary Chapman, this is not my material, words of affirmation. Some people, actions don't always speak louder. Some people it does, some people they don't. If this is your love language, unsolicited compliments can mean the world to you. It doesn't quite work as well if you're like, do you like my new pants? And they're like, decent. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if somebody chooses to give you words of affirmation, and even hearing the words, I love you, are really important. Hearing the reasons behind that love will send that person just into the stratosphere, okay? The con of that is words can easily fracture that person. You're going to learn that today, too. Your love language is also one of your greatest weaknesses because it's where you receive love best, but where you're most tender and vulnerable. So words of affirmation are some of mine. I got to be real careful that when people criticize me or say mean things about me, it goes deep. Do you understand what I'm saying? So words of affirmation are big. There may be people in your life that you need to come up with something. Come up with something. Life is about being purposeful. Is that a new shirt? Or if you think it, say it. You know how many times I've told Terry I love his boots? Do you know how many times I've thought I love his boots? I say it to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's being purposeful. I love the boots. I do. Every time I see him, like, they're snazzy. So I tell him. He could probably say to me, like, yeah, you tell me every week. Well, I think it every week. I don't know what to tell you. That's living life on purpose, right? Oh, did you get your hair cut? That's nice. Oh, yes, I did. Right? Words of affirmation can be huge, guys. Step up and meet needs if you know that's the love language of someone in your life. Number two, and this is big. Young people, listen up. Quality time is love language number two. And what that means is nothing says I love you like full, undivided attention. And this is killing us because we're always doing one of these nowadays. These people, if you were to go click, bang, that means the world to them. Because the con, if you are distracted in that time, it actually physically hurts them and rejects them. You, do you understand what I'm saying? Any head nods? Come on, man, get off your phone. What? Am I not that important? And you spin out. Why? They're sensitive in that area. Quality time. It's not about what we talk about. It's just that you see me and I see you and we're together. Quality time is love language number two. Turn off the TV. Put the fork and knife down. The chores can wait a minute. This person will feel truly special and loved if distractions and all that sort of stuff are out of the picture. Now, distractions, postponed dates, or failures to listen, send these guys into the ground. If that's your love language, quality time, those things hurt big time. The third love language Dr. Gary Chapman talks about is receiving gifts. And we're not talking about materialism, but some people receiving a really thoughtful gift, that's their love language. They truly enjoy that. I got my brother-in-law, Joe. It must be one of his love languages because he's the best gift giver I've ever met in my life. Oh, my God. Like, we all know it in his family and extended family. Like, he always gets me for Christmas. I'm not going to tell you if I make that happen or not. When we do he gets me. And it's not stuff I ask for. It's stuff I didn't know I wanted until he gave it to me. Seriously, every gift he's ever given me has been just a bullseye. That must mean gifts mean a lot to him because he's willing to put the effort in. Some people, when you send that birthday card, it really communicates love to them. So here's what I had to learn. And I'm not saying I'm flawless in this, especially with two little kids in the real busy season, but I've personally made you a lot of cards, haven't I? I take computer paper, fold them, and I draw like a child. So it's like getting an 8-year-old, but I make her birthday cards. And one year, remember, I bought you a birthday card and you're like, what's wrong? Aunt Betty. Yeah. And Aunt Betty was like, yeah. And my cards are terrible. They're stick figures, guys. Is that a dog or a giraffe? I don't know. It's up to you. But taking the time to give them a personalized gift, the guys, they would just think so highly of it. Guess what? Not my love language, but knowing it was theirs, I changed what I did for them. And the question I want to ask as we're doing this is, if you don't do that, does that mean these people aren't important to you? Because that's what you're communicating. Grandma Mary, God bless her, she passed away last summer. Best thing we could do about quality time was a phone call. And I didn't necessarily want to make the phone call every week, guys. Really, you know? She was 85 at the time or something. A lot of repeated stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it was more just like letting her talk at me. But without fail, every week, I called her. And she would tell Mom just how much that meant to her. And how nobody else really did that. Well, guess what? If I love her, then I do that. Then I speak her language. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the funny part is, lots of us guys, this is going to help. And the reason I say it's an adrenaline shot is lots of us are continuously doing things. We're trying to communicate love. I do love you. But we're communicating it in a language they don't receive. So lots of it has fallen to the ground. And then both people end up frustrated. We sit in that office in marriage counseling. And I told you last week, first thing we do is no battle lines. We're on the same team. But number two, what's her love language? What's his love language? Well, then how are you speaking it if you don't know what it is? Number one, learn. On the way home today, ask them. Hey, when Butthead was talking about those things, which one are you? And she's going to go, I think I'm quality time and words of affirmation. And then here's what you got to do. Ready? Ready? Remember that and do it. Really, that's it, guys. Sometimes life is that simple. And again, you don't have to go to Dr. Phil. This is the Lord Jesus telling us you got to love. You got to love intentionally. You got to love on purpose. Okay? Number three was receiving gifts. Number four is acts of service. This is kitty poop, man. Get that scooper out. Vacuum the carpet now and again. Do the things you don't want to do because acts of service can speak to people. Can they be an expression of love? Vacuuming the floors? Yes, absolutely. Look at it this way. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities on someone else can speak volumes. Here's what I didn't understand about Melanie coming home from work. She'd been at work all day, and she probably thought on the way home, I can't relax until I scoop the kitty poop. So when I did it, and the litter was, I was actually serving her peaceful time. I didn't know that. I just didn't want to stink in the basement anymore. You know what I mean? It was getting out of hand. But she saw, he allowed me to have rest. Wow, he must really love me. You got all that out of scooping kitty poop? I don't understand it, but it's true. Acts of service, guys. The words he or she most want to hear is, let me do that for you. On the converse of that, guys, is laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for them. That destroys them. It tells them their feelings don't matter. The fifth one, because we've got words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and act of service. The fifth one is physical touch. We're not talking about bedroom stuff. Some people, their primary language is physical touch. And it's not surprising. These people are touchy. They give you hugs, pats on the back. They like to hold hands. Thoughtful touches on the arm, shoulder, whatever like that. It really communicates a lot to them. Grandma Mary was one of those. She always had to be touching you. She was 4 foot nothing. And she'd always, right? She'd be sitting at the table. She'd reach across and always just touch you. That was just her language of communicating love. She never sat somewhere without touching someone. And so, you know what? Bring her in for a hug once in a while. It meant the world to her, right? Physical touch. Likewise, guys, if physical touch is withheld from someone who this is their love language, they wither. They wither up like a week-old flower on your dining room table. This is something they need. And this is hard. Neglect and abuse can be unforgivable to these people and really, really destructive, guys. So again, this is for every relationship in your life, guys. And Jesus, when he says, love others, okay? When he tells us to step up and meet needs, when he gave us the example of sacrificing himself, doing something he didn't want to do to communicate love and serve us, amen, with the cross. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks, Easter time. So we get to step up, sacrifice ourselves, meet needs, and love other people around us, guys. So now let me just start to Gatling gun some wisdom to you. Also, understand this. I'm going to give you some statistics. Pray together as a family, as a couple. Love languages are fun, but I've seen nothing make a difference in marriages, even ones where people were out the door. I've seen nothing make more of an impact on a marriage than praying together. Hear me out. Of the 86% of people in America who say they're Christians, There is over a 50% divorce rate as of 2015. Out of the 86% of people who say, sure, Jesus. Obviously, that's not true as far as Christ followers, but 86% of people, only 6% of those people pray together. Are you ready? Follow me on this one. Of that 6%, we stretch it out. There's less than a 1% divorce rate. Let me break it down. Can I break it down? Of the people in America who are taking the time to hold arms and say, Father, we're here together, less than 1% of those people get divorced yearly, of people who pray together.
DJ, do you think it's important that people pray together?
Well, that was a Gallup poll that says, yeah, it sounds like it's important. Let me give you some wisdom as to why. Marty, it's awfully hard to slag my wife off when I just came to God and prayed for her, isn't it? It's awfully hard to ever think she's my enemy when I just walked to the Father with her and for her. Father, help her to become the person you want her to be. Please be with her today. Give her peace. She's a teacher. Father, help her, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I can't then think of her as an enemy because I just served her in prayer. That's coming to the Father together, Dad. Together. Arm in arm. Together. AJ, I just don't know how to pray out loud. You do, because it's just talking. You can do this. Step up and meet needs. Jesus showed us sacrifice. It's dinner time. She's looking at me. She wants me to pray. Father, thank you. Food is good. Love you. Amen. Is that not a legitimate prayer? Come on, guys. Dude, you don't need to shame people who aren't naturally gifted in that way. Let them do whatever they can do. Even if they have something like, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. If they start there, encourage that person. We're praying together. Wow, we just did something spiritually. We go bowling, which stimulates our mind and our body. You know what I mean? We do all these things together to make memories. We don't do anything spiritually together. Oh, but we'll be fine. Two-thirds of me is in this marriage. Oh, man. Mike, I'm bringing heat today. You hearing this? You want to know why, though? Honestly, because I'm the one who gets to sit in that office and see the heartache and the pain. I am. And God, you know, here's the thing. God doesn't dislike divorced people at all. God dislikes divorce because it hurts. It's a ripping away. It's a tearing. Nobody will argue that who's ever been divorced. It hurt. And God goes, I don't want my kids to hurt. And Dad goes, I don't want Izzy or Alex to hurt. So praying together, even with your mom, sometimes mom and I have prayed together, and it's a bonding thing. We've spent a lot of physical time together, mental time together, phone conversation. But sometimes just praying with somebody is that spiritual time together. Let your house be a house of prayer. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't need to say thee, thou, hither, thither. Just talk the way you talk, okay? It's a big deal. 1%, guys. Okay, so I'm saying set time aside and be purposeful in this. For us, it was bedtime. But sometimes schedules don't add up, and sometimes we have to do it when we're eating, blah, blah, blah. But I want to say that praying together is very important. Okay, so let me finish up here by saying this. As we were talking about the five love languages and the way people receive love and give love, I also want to tell you something else that's important. Forget love languages for a second. Because one thing I hear is over time, people will zoom in on something and nitpick the crap out of that person they live with. Oh, I've been looking at that for 30 years. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I mean. He never tells us where we should go to eat. He's not very decisive. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, ready? Boom. AJ's here to help you. Let's look at that personality trait, shall we? So you just said he doesn't really come up with things, come up with ideas. He's not very much a leader. That's the one side of the coin. That's the negative you're saying, right? Let's flip that coin over, people. Oh, that is a great team player. That is a guy who does not boss you around. That is a guy who lets you thrive and flourish. But you are focused on this side of the coin? Every personality trait has a good and bad application. I'm being funny for a reason, because this is hard stuff. AJ is a leader. Ask me what I think about anything from Asian markets, the gold standard, OPEC and barrel prices, things I think about, okay? Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all that stuff. Anything. Dragons, are they real? All the sorts. I have opinions about everything. Guess what? The negative of that is I have opinions about everything. That's terribly annoying, right? And I'm going to be the guy who probably thinks he's right because I can give you 7 different sources as to why I'm right. One side of the coin, oh, yeah, he knows where he wants to go to eat. He's the leader of our family. he doesn't bend that well, and he's got opinions, and he never shuts up. Okay? Good and bad. Do I need to keep going to let some people free in their thing? Don't focus on the one thing. Really, don't do that. Well, he's just not this. What's the other side of it? Oh, yeah, he lets me be me. Doesn't boss me around. Supports me, loves me. Every personality trait has a good and bad side. Okay, so someone's quiet. Maybe they're more calculated and self-controlled. That's one thing about Melanie. I'll tell you, more dish on us, more gossip. It bugged me because she's not much of a talker. And so here we are 10 years into the marriage this August. I came to realize that's the one side of the coin. There's other people in my life that can yammer on, like this one here. We can have the conversations till 3 a.m. There's people in my life that can fill that role, that proper relationship placement stuff, right? On the opposite side of the coin is she's a good listener, right? She supports what I do. Oh, she doesn't talk much. She's wrong. She's bad. Careful, Tonto. Turn that coin over, right? That's good, guys. That's very good. The last thing I want to say, and then we're going to go. Yes, we are. Is fight for your relationships. And I'm talking about marriage, but I'm also talking about sibling, mom and dad. Fight for your relationships as though it's... Fight for your relationships at every stage as though it were really bad. And here's what I mean. Why do people wait until one person's halfway out the door to fight for their marriage? Come on, we do. Or at least that's the people that come see me. Y'all don't come see me for the oil change checkup once a year just to make sure. No. I get the, can we meet when? Today? What time? Now-ish? Because she's almost out the door. How long has she been almost out the door? 3 years. But now she's really super serious. So now we need to work on it. No, work on it now, before it's that bad. I used to teach self-defense, and I taught self-defense in college, and I said this. Don't wait until you're in imminent danger to defend yourself. In other words, ladies, or men, okay? If you're walking through a dark parking lot sometime and you just get that feeling, oh, I don't like this, and then you notice there's two guys over there, freak out then and run away. Don't wait until, oh, I was right. My spider sense went off. Holy Spirit was talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? People can think you're a lunatic, but at least you're not in trouble. Like, ah! Just run away. Oh, we weren't going to do anything to her, but now you know you're safe. Really? I'm serious, man. I've been in situations like that where I'll take a fighting stance and people be like, whoa. And I'm like, okay, just take a check-in. Just making sure. I'm not going to wait until I'm a victim. Same with a marriage. I'm not going to wait until all of a sudden, warning, critical mass, unmet needs, neglect. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to see these signs and I'm going to bring it and start working on it before it's too late. Okay? Wow. I wish Dr. Phil and Oprah were sharing these sort of things. But here's the news. You can know about love languages. You can listen to me all you want. You do not have the ability to do this on your own. Because you're a selfish, sinful person. That's who we are. But now that you know this, you can say, Holy Father, can you help me to recognize how she receives love? Can you help me to love her the way she needs me to love her? And then you're not doing it in your own strength. Do we understand? And you can be purposeful. Because everybody's got a cross to bear. And through God, we are called to defeat that, to win that war, to win that battle, right? So I don't know what to tell you for if you don't get application out of that, you weren't listening. There's a lot of application in that. So instead, and I know we've sung this song a lot recently, but I want to sing Good Father because of what we talked about in the beginning and also because of this. I don't know. It's about relationship. So let's sing You're a Good Father.
Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they tender whisper of love in the dead of night, but you tell me that you're pleased in that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. By you, it's who I am, it's who I am. searching for answers far and wide, but I know we are searching for answers only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Lord God, that you've ripped the veil, Lord God, and you've taken the identity. You've revealed to us that you are good, good Father. So many of us in our lives, we saw you as holy creator, God, strong, powerful, and scary. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and you showed us Abba, Father. Help us to understand that, Father. To break through our preconceptions, Lord God, through the walls we may have put up, and to receive your love, Lord God. Because no matter what we learn about love languages or loving other people, if we don't receive your love, we will run out of love to give other people. We need you to fill us that we can pour out, Lord God. So help us this week, Father God, to be a comfort to those around us, Lord, to shine your light as a city on the hill. There's so much hurt and wounding and questions around. Help us to be your ambassadors, Father. And even in our own homes, Father God, we ask that you would help us to step up and meet needs. Give us strategies. Give us the power and ability to meet needs, Father, and to speak the language of those we love. Because we do. We love them very much. We want them to know. But Father God, we need practical ways to do it, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us the power, the desire, and that you'd remind us, Father God, to meet the needs of those around us. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. It's in your name we pray. Just one more time, let's sing.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
For who you are and who you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, have a great week.